giveaway alert, everybody. That's right. I told you Terp Fiend gave us a pack of The Underground to give away to you listeners. And we're going to throw in a little Growcast surprise as well. All you got to do is send a snapshot of your rating and review of the show. Email it to contact@growcastpodcast.com or just DM at Growcast on Instagram. Send us a snapshot. That's how you're entered to win. We've done these rating and review giveaways before. It's a great way to get seeds in the hands of listeners. And like I said, a little surprise along with the Terp Fiend coming at you. So please send in those rating and reviews. I appreciate you listeners so much. Today's episode is with Joaquin from jackgreensgardenproducts.com. He's a great friend of the show. I love his Jack's Bug Be Gone, everything he's got going. And he gave you guys a discount code. GC Listener is the code for a whopping 25% off. He created that code for you guys. What a nice individual. He talks about how he makes his products. He talks about the cannabis he's growing, the other stuff he's growing. It's a great episode. We really like this guy. So let's just jump right in with it. Remember, jackgreensgardenproducts.com. We got to shout him out because he did give us that huge code, GC Listener. Save big bucks with that, everybody. Thank you, everyone, so much. I hope you're doing incredible in your gardens. Enjoy the program. Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to Growcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. As always, at the beginning of the show, I urge you to spread the show. Make sure you're subscribed, give us a good rating and review, and tell a friend about Growcast. You can also shoot me a screenshot of you subscribed to the podcast and having given us a good rating and review on whatever app you use, and you'll be entered to win Terp Fiend Genetics. That's right. Hit me on IG at Growcast, send that screenshot, or email contact@growcastpodcast.com. We will pick one entry. We will send them a pack of The Underground by Terp Fiend. I told you that giveaway was coming last episode, and here it is this episode. There you go, everybody. Give us a good rating review. Send us a snapshot. Win free seeds this month only at Growcast. Today, we have quickly becoming a friend of the show from Jack Green's Garden Products, Natural Garden Products. We have Joaquin on the line. What's up, Joaquin?
Hey, hey, what's going on, listeners? What's going on, Jordan?
What's up, man? Good to have you here.
It's good to be back. It's good to be back. I've been great, man.
What's been going on out there on with your farm and with your, I know you got consultation work. What's been happening?
Yeah, I've been, I don't know if some of the listeners know, but my base was usually in San Diego, Southern California, but moved a little bit farther north towards like the Palm Springs area to help out a buddy with his facility up here. He's got 9 acres. Looking to make it a regenerative farm as well as cannabis, but also, you know, farm animals and vegetables and stuff like that to help self-sustain.
That's killer, man. Like a closed loop type thing?
Yeah, definitely. They're totally off grid. About, I'd say maybe like 20, 30 minutes away from the near city. And all solar power, all rain catchment or purchasing water. And, you know, we're trying to help them out, bring down their resource costs on certain things. So yeah, definitely closed loop system.
Jeez, dude, that's really, really cool. Love what you're doing. Love the Instagram. Go and give them a follow, everybody. Jack Green's Garden Products. Oh, of course, jackgreensgardenproducts.com. Use code GC Listener. GC Listener, is that the correct code?
Yep, that's the code for all you guys. You get a good discount on our products there on the website.
GC Listener, I'm loving the Bug Be Gone, man. This is my favorite pest control product. It is. I mean, you know, Zymes has a special place in my heart because you can spray it on flowers. But if I'm in veg, listen, I love Dr. Zymes, but it just doesn't have that kick that you're looking for if you're trying to wipe out an infestation. The Jack's Bug Be Gone knocks those fuckers dead, and the plants seem to like it. Have you observed that as well when you're applying these fermented pest control applications? I got a couple questions about these, actually. A, do you find that the plants like it because it is a fermented product? I'm sure they're getting some sort of, you know, great beneficials from that. And then B, why is it so effective as a pest killer? Does it have to do with the capsaicin at all? It doesn't seem very spicy. Just talk to me about that.
Yeah, definitely. I've noticed that they seem to like it. I'm not sure if it's the potassium and the potassium hydroxide that they're taking in or what it is, but they seem to enjoy it a lot. Mm. It seems to be gentle enough for them to be able to continue, you know, respirating properly, because I know some of the natural solutions that contain essential oils, sometimes the oils tend to clog the pores of the plant. Mm-hmm. And they stop respirating right. And, you know, that's sometimes why you see them drooping or looking kind of sad after you spray them with something. But honestly, I don't think I've ever had that type of issue with the Bug Be Gone. I've never really seen them, you know, not like it. They actually really love it. Every time we spray them, they're praying right after. So it's pretty strange.
That's what I've observed as well. I observed that exact same thing. And while those oil products can be very, very effective, like some of the more natural, more effective solutions out there, the Jax does the job. And it doesn't surprise me that it probably doesn't clog that stomata, because I didn't see that negative reaction either.
Right.
Why is it about the capsaicin in there? Because, you know, I accidentally got some kind of on myself, on my face and stuff. And I immediately had the reaction like, oh, I just got hot peppers on my face, because I know it's like a pepper ferment. But then I actually realized like it doesn't smell very spicy. It doesn't seem very strong. Is it a mix of things? Why does it knock them dead?
The way the Bug Be Gone actually kills pests, it kills them by suffocation or suffocation. Usually the actual, what would they call the wetting agent, or the JWA, the Jadam wetting agent that I make, it actually coats the bug completely, preventing them from being able to breathe, from being able to move around, and pretty much just encapsulates them in like a bubble of foam, and they suffocate inside of it.
So it does work like those other oil products, but it's just not as...
Right, wow. Right. It's just not as heavy. Yeah, it's not as heavy, so it doesn't end up clogging your stomata, and it doesn't end up, you know, affecting your plants negatively. It still works through suffocation. The chili pepper is more like a kind of like a preventative, you know. They'll smell the chili pepper on there. Maybe it'll be too spicy for them to take a bite after they've already been dosed.
I see.
Yeah, so the Jadam wetting agent, the wetting agent is the main killer of the insects. And then the Jadam herb solution, which would be like the chili fermented tea, is just like an additive to help prevent and help continue, you know, your plants, like a defense system for them.
Makes sense, man. Makes sense. Yeah, I'm loving it. Like I said, I don't want to spend the whole time talking about Bug Be Gone, but I got to say, I got to give you props, man. It is my go-to.
Sweet, man. I appreciate it. We do it for you guys. We've did our research and you know, we released it for the people to try. And we're really glad that everybody's giving us really good feedback on it. It's an amazing thing.
If you listeners haven't tried it, go and hit up Jack Green's GardenProducts.com. Use code GCListener. Bug Be Gone. I'm going to try the soil conditioner and all the other offerings. We'll talk about what we have planned for the future of Jax. Yeah, why don't we go right there? Talk to me about your future projects on the farm, revamping the other farm, and with Jax.
Right, right. So up here at my buddy's farm, he's on Instagram also. It's High Haven Homestead. If you guys want to check it out, High Haven Homestead, separated by underscores. He's up here in like a remote area of the high desert in Southern California. We're totally off grid. We got some greenhouses currently going that he had before I came here, with some mother plants, and just been helping him with some, you know, pest control, soil building, bringing life back to the soil, different things like that with the cannon greenhouses. And also we're planning on, putting up some vegetables or some fruit houses. And also they have a little collection of a couple of chickens, some silkies and some other types of chickens, that they're taking care of also. So yeah, you know, we're planning on doing water catchment and totally regenerative systems here. They live like on a mountain slope. So I'm going to put like a bastions and other ways to keep the water, you know, from running down the hill and flooding everything, and just try and keep that water there.
Wow.
And rebuild that water table there in the desert. And hopefully we'll make a little oasis in the middle of nowhere.
Dude, that's wild. You said that it's off the grid. Is it like currently up and running off of solar power? Do you have generators?
Yeah. The heavy equipment runs on generators, unfortunately, at this time, but you know, we're working on getting everything solar powered and fully sustainable without having to go out outside sources to, you know, bring in gasoline and stuff like that. Also the same thing with the water.
So my understanding is that it's solar energy and solar technology has kind of been like LED technology, in that it's been getting better and better, more and more affordable. But for the longest time, it really didn't make sense. I imagine right. That in the high desert, that's one of the places where it makes the most sense. Just talk to me about the process of going to solar. Just like, I mean, you don't have to share the total bill of what it costs, but kind of from like a cost perspective, if it makes sense, talk to me about that.
At the time right now, they're averaging a couple of $1,000 in gasoline for generators and stuff. If you, you know, factor that in every month for a year, that's a lot of money. So, I mean, if you see what you're spending on your upfront costs, and you're able to put that into an investment, which would be the solar, which would be in the long run, you know, you wouldn't be paying for anything. If that's like a feasible thing for you, then, you know, start trying to look how you could reduce your gasoline costs little by little to be more self-sustainable. That's what I'm going to be looking into here. Unfortunately, right now, I don't really have any prices on, you know, any solar systems or anything like that. So we've been working on regenerating the soil, but little by little, we're going to be working on, you know, bringing them totally off grid and 100% self-sustainable out here.
That's really cool, man. I'd like to see what that looks like. And I know, because there's like I said, kind of like LEDs, the technology is moving so fast.
Right.
There are these solar shingles for houses now. And I just heard that it's kind of tipped from some people that solar is really coming along now. So I'd be excited to see what that looks like once it's all done. High Haven Farms, did you say?
High Haven Homestead.
Sorry, High Haven Homestead. High Haven Homestead on Instagram.
Yeah.
Go give them a follow for sure. That's really cool.
Thanks,
man.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we're going to be working closely with them. They're on their 9-acre farm off grid. And, you know, also here at the home base, I'm going to be working on bringing different products, offering different things to you know, all of our clients and your listeners and stuff. We're going to be offering pretty soon some organic dry amendments like alfalfa meal, you know, different things like that, soluble potash, and, you know, trying to find them from organic and sustainable sources.
I love it.
And also trying to be making like blends, so you guys can mix it into your soil, so you can supercharge your soil, and also with different kinds of microbe inoculants and stuff like that. So stay tuned, guys. We're going to be having a lot of new products coming out this year. Hopefully by the end of the year, I'll be mixing my own soil or offering a soil mix here locally for people to pick up in Southern California. So yeah, guys, stay tuned.
That's killer, man. Really excited for Jack Green's garden products.
Thanks.
What's going on your farm? I love when I'm seeing your posts, I love that you have such a variety of plants. I love that you're not just this cannabis guy. I love seeing you and your wife and your pictures and just love what you got going on in your farm, man. What's new there? What are you excited about there?
Thanks. I appreciate it. Right now, I got my dad. He's pretty much caretaking everything for us right now in San Diego since we're out here in Palm Springs. But, you know, I showed him how to, you know, irrigate properly and how to feed the plants with the FPJs and stuff. So he's learning. He's my little natural farming apprentice. So
cool.
I got him taking care of our little slice over there. We got a couple papaya trees. We have one mature one and a couple of baby ones. Our mature papaya tree last year just gave us its first fruit. So we were excited about that. And this year it looks like it's got like another 10 baby papayas. So it's going to be a good one. We have different varieties of chili peppers, Carolina Reapers, habaneros, jalapenos, Thai chilies. Yeah, just a different menagerie of chili peppers. And that's my dad's favorite. So, you know, he makes sure he has at least 10 or 15 varieties growing at all times.
Oof.
Different tomatoes, you know, just a lot of different edibles. And we just try to grow them together in a system sustainably where, you know, it's interplanted everything. And you know, it's not just a monoculture of tomatoes over here, monoculture of chilies over here. Like, you know, the papaya is surrounded by a lemon tree, of two lemon trees, actually. And then on the other side of it, there's a goji berry, a raspberry, a blueberry, and just like different perennials that'll eventually be producing food year round for us there at the property. So that's what I'm working on.
That's really cool, man. I find that if you go to some of the coffee farms, some of the higher end coffee farms, they all do the polyculture and just interspersed, like you said, between all these different things. And you know, they say that, what is it, strawberry cough or strawberry fields, or you know the story. Grown in a field of strawberries.
Right, strawberries, yeah, and they got that scent. Yeah, definitely.
Right. So it's like, do you buy into that? I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I think that there's, even if it's not as simple as that story kind of makes it out to be, I imagine that there is some sort of, that biodiversity has to play a role in at least just the way you garden and your values, if not actually the way that your products come out, specifically cannabis, you know?
From my personal experiences, cannabis does great interplanted with a bunch of different things. Just this last season, I grew it alongside dill, basil. I think I had a couple tomatoes in there and like just a bunch of different plants. And to be honest, this was probably one of the best harvests I've ever had. I don't know what it was. Maybe the biodiversity in the soil that, you know, just different plants like different microbes and they're just all mixed in there. And, you know,
that's
cannabis
really cool,
can pick
man.
Whichever ones it wants. And it does great. If you guys grow indoors and you don't have a lot of room, try a companion plant, you know, put a couple lettuces in your pot or like an herb or something, a nice basil, And you guys might be surprised, you know, you think that, you know, having two different plants will leach each other's nutrients and all this other crap that you've heard, but I've never experienced that ever.
I love that take. Before we return to Joaquin, gotta give love to AC Infinity. ACInfinity.com. Use code GROWCAST15 for 15% off. The Grow World's best fans, and now some high quality, sexy tents at ACInfinity.com. They have the greatest grow fans. They're quiet. They are lightweight. They have all sorts of sizes that you need. They got the T-Series and the S-Series. Now, the T-Series is the smart controller series. You can monitor your grow room. You can have it kick on, the fan kick on at different temperatures and humidities. Or just go with the S-Series. It's the simple series, and that has a 10-speed fan controller. I really like both of them, if I'm being perfectly honest. ACInfinity.com. Also, check out their tents. They've got thick, durable tents at an affordable price. Might be just what you're looking for at acinfinity.com. Use code GROWCAST15 for a large 15% off your order. Thank you so much, everybody. Enjoy. You'll thank me later. acinfinity.com. All right, let's get back to Joaquin. Let's say we're an indoor grower. Whether we have larger pots and we're going to plant something in the pot, or we're just going to bring a plant into our gardens, what would you personally recommend growers try, whether it's, you know, some lavender because it's supposed to be good near your plant, something to repel pests, or just something that you think is fun that cannabis growers should grow because it's fun?
That would definitely be a personal preference. I mean, if you're a serious grower and you're trying to grow for production, or, you know, trying to eventually hone your skills to be able to be like some kind of production grower, then definitely try out the companion plants like dill. Dill's supposed to repel mites. Lavender, I know, is supposed to repel different insects and stuff. You know, try different things like that. That'll keep your plants safe, especially if you're doing greenhouse and outdoors. That's definitely ideal. But for indoor growers, I'm pretty sure they'll find a benefit also. And, you know, and if they're just hobby growers and they're just having fun, you know, just plant a couple of food plants in there and see. You know, you'd be surprised that you can grow food as well as you can grow your own medicine. It's pretty surprising to some people, but it's not that difficult.
I would agree. I tend to find myself like trying a lot of different things and them not working out. So for instance, like I love growing herbs in my auto tent because I have a hard time with like fruiting, flowering plants. I have my lights on a 20 on, 4 off cycle.
Right.
And my Brussels sprouts have just been going for a long time and I haven't seen any Brussels. And I'm worried it's because of the light cycle maybe. I don't know. I feel every veggie is different. But the herbs like dill, basil, oregano, I imagine lavender's the same way. Like you don't really have to worry too much about, you're just kind of harvesting the plant as it grows. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it does great under that longer light cycle, I find. But I guess what I'm saying is the one challenge I do find with the food veggies is I feel like I can't get them to produce under my cannabis light cycles.
Right. That would take a little bit of research, you know, to see if certain vegetables are photoperiod sensitive, like cannabis, like, you know, if they grow all through summer and finally flower and in fall, if you got them in your bench tent, then, you know, you're going to have a fucking 20-foot tomato.
Exactly. Dude, I do terrible with tomatoes, too. It's funny you say that. But yeah, that's a good point. You got to individually research them, right?
Yeah, definitely. I would suggest greens, like you said, herbs. Herbs do great. Also, greens like kale, lettuce, those types of foods would do great in like a canna tent, especially as like a ground cover. They would definitely provide like a living mulch and, you know, some places for microbes to hang out on the roots. You'll have a salad at the end of everything also.
Now, let me ask you this. Maybe you can just give some insight into this. Again, I'm a veggie noob, so please don't make fun of me, all you gardeners out there. For a while, I was into taking my leftover vegetable scraps and seeing what you can reproduce with them. For instance, you take your green onions after they've been chopped and they still have those roots on the bottom. I stick them in a cup of water. They start to regrow. I plant them in my super soil. Bam, that's like a green onion run, and I can continually harvest and harvest and harvest. But I tried doing that with lettuce stumps, and someone told me what happened is it bolted on me. It got all stretchy and weird and bitter.
Right.
So I don't know if you have any insight into that, like some good things we can take from home. And I guess some others are not a good idea. Like I said, with the lettuce, I got one harvest, and then it got all weird on me. And someone said that's because I didn't go from seed.
Right. The best thing I could suggest for the food scraps, if you're going to do something like a lettuce or a carrot, the end goal is for it to bolt like that. You can get seeds off of it and you can start, you know, your own lettuce seeds.
So what happens if I would have let it go after it bolts, it turns to seed?
Yeah, it starts to, it'll throw out like a little flower, like a flower stem. And from those flowers, it'll make these little, like, look like green bean pods. And inside those pods will be the seeds.
Nice. There you go. I should have let it go. Good point. And then I would have had my own all good. Free lettuce seeds. There you go.
You live and you learn. You live and you learn.
I know someone else said that about your bell pepper seeds. Like some of your plants are just loaded with free seeds.
Right. Yeah. You can. I've actually started taking seeds out here. I have my friend High Haven Homestead. Well, his wife is actually germinating some habanero seeds from me, from my garden from back in San Diego. And she just cut them out from the habaneros that were drying in the window. They were actually even kind of moldy. Some of the seeds were a little bit like covered in black mold and they still germinated. So,
wow.
You know, you never know. You never know what's going to work for you and what isn't. But if you don't try, then you'll never know.
That's wild, man. That's wild. I love it. Let's get back to cannabis specifically, though. What are you growing? What do you like? We've talked lot about all the other plants and your inputs and stuff, but I don't think I've ever asked you, like, what strains are you growing? What strains do you prefer? That sort of thing.
Honestly, in the future, I've grown like a lot of different OGs. They're super popular here in California, the OG bloodline, and there's like a million different kinds.
Right.
But, you know, I really like growing different varieties that aren't OG. So I like growing things like this last season I had a purple punch crossed with I forgot what it was called, like a white rhino or something like that. And it was really great. It had a nice terpene profile. It grew really great buds. Had a fucking amazing harvest, and I was really happy about that. But right now, currently, I gotta check with my partner High Haven. But I think he said something like 110 different strains right now.
Holy
110
shit.
Different flavors, because we're gonna be planting out the whole nine, or like part of the whole 9 acres this year. So we have, I think, like 4 or 5 different kinds of Skittles, at least like 5 different kinds of cookies. A couple sour diesel crosses, a bunch of different OGs, just, you know, a bunch of stuff.
Wow, man. 9 acres. Yeah. Regeneratively farmed, sun grown. You said there's greenhouses and open, or just like mostly greenhouses?
The canna is going to be grown in the greenhouses. The open space is probably going to be more for the veggies and animals and stuff like that. But yeah, it's both, you know, multi-use greenhouse and open space.
Holy cow. Pardon the pun. Holy cow, dude. That is insane. 110 different strains.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome.
Woo!
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Yeah, it's quite a collection.
Well, I got to talk to this High Haven guy, and you know that's what they say is like when you're gonna see this stuff really shine is when you see this regenerative ag on a large scale.
Right, right. Yeah, definitely. That's what we're working on. Currently, I tried an IMO collection up there at the farm, but you know the temperatures are just not right now. It frosts up there, and during the day. It's anywhere from like 75 to 80 degrees. And at night right now, it's like in the 30s. So
Jesus. And that's really winter deep. In the high desert is. That's right. I think a lot of people, including myself, didn't realize till you watch those National Geographic shows or whatever, is the desert's blazing hot. And then when the sun sets, it gets crazy cold.
Yeah, it's like freezing. Everything freezes over and shit. And it's nuts. You wouldn't expect it.
That's really crazy that you're consulting and growing out there. But that sounds like a big operation, man. I'm like excited for you.
Yeah, I am too. At first, I was a little bit nervous because, you know, the location geographically, right now, we're actually going to have to go, like, we're going out of the desert to go get water and bring it back. But, you know, like I said, we're working on, you know, building bastions and check dams on that little mountain to try and see if we can make a pond and create our own irrigation water and be more self-sustainable. But yeah, man, I'm excited. It's going to be a great year this year.
That's wild. So when you talk about that, what you're saying is, the rain has nowhere to collect. When it falls, there's that mountainside, but it just runs right down the mountainside, drains into the desert, drains into this, what, sand, dries out, whatever. You're trying to build structures, reservoirs, pools, bastions, as you call them, alongside the mountainside so the water is slowed and collected?
Right, yeah. We're trying to get the water to sink into where we are at to try and raise the water table. Because since they're on a slope at the bottom of their property, it's flat. So I'm hoping maybe I can dig out like a little pond. And once I raise the water level of their property, you know, the water's going to seep into that pond and fill it up.
Right.
It's like an off-grid tactic that a lot of people use like in the Middle East and India and places like that where they just don't have access to water. But what happens is here in the desert, we have these, you know, like typhoon rains where it just comes down, bro, like it'll rain for like 2-3 hours, and I'm talking like inches at a time.
Jeez.
It's just pouring out of the sky, and this hits the side of the mountain just floods into this flood area right here, and it just becomes this gigantic lake, and it becomes a problem. It destroys property. It takes away houses. It runs through the cities and floods people's, cities and stuff. So eventually, if I can make this model work on this little mountain, I would like to pitch it to the cities and all the larger municipalities out here to try and help them, keep their cities from flooding and actually build water tables here in the desert. Maybe change this desert into a grassland eventually. They're gonna think I'm crazy at first, but maybe they can come and see the farm and see the model and be inspired. But that's my long-term goal here, to help, help everybody out, help the world out with whatever knowledge I have of natural farming. And I think that check damming and bastions here, like holding the water back, would really benefit this area of the world, like really, really benefit them.
Wow, man, that's a powerful mission. Terraforming. That's terraforming right there.
Terraforming. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about terraforming when they talk about, Elon Musk going to Mars or whatever. But we should probably get a handle on what we have going right here.
Yeah, right. We're letting everything go to shit on this planet. And then we're going to go to another one and take a dump on that too. Might as well.
Someone's got to clean up this mess first. And it sounds it sounds like we're learning, what works and what works regeneratively.
Yeah, definitely.
Really cool shit, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's been, my work for the last few years, doing as much research and gaining as much knowledge as I can on this subject to, help the less fortunate, man, the people that don't have anything, the people that might have a little plot of land and nothing else, and they just don't know what to do with it. Well, that land can grow food, and that's a benefit for you. That's profit in your pocket. And eventually, you'll be, not just eating for yourself, but providing for your community and making money for yourself.
I don't think there's ever been a year where self-sufficiency has been more attractive either.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Than 2020. You know what I mean? That's the truth. Like, we don't think about self-sufficiency until we really think about self-sufficiency.
Yeah, until something happens like this where you need to be self-sufficient. Yeah, definitely. So hopefully, with this little push of such a crappy year and all the stuff that happened, will help open people's eyes to, the necessity of sustainability and regenerative, not just sustainability, but actually regenerating where we're at and making it better for future generations, not just, sustaining where we're at. Mm-hmm. That's not just not going to cut it for us anymore. We're going to have to actually repair this planet. If we want to last another generation or two, we're going to have to do some serious work here.
Well, you're doing God's work, man. We love it. And like I said, I'm going to be following you. I'm going to love to see these updates. One thing that I have on my list right in front of me, got to make sure we have time for it. Your work with regenerative agriculture in the Spanish language. I love this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a new thing that I started figuring out this year. I actually had a dream that I was doing a YouTube video in Spanish.
Whoa.
And I woke up and I was like, dude, what the hell? Why have I been wasting my time? Like, that's a great idea. Never really seen natural farming videos in Spanish or really in any other language that's available. So I really want to start doing that. And actually, I posted a poll on my Instagram and I got a really great feedback from a lot of my brothers in Costa Rica and Uruguay, Colombia, different places like in South America that were telling me like, please, bro, please do these in Spanish.
That's so cool.
Like, I could really benefit from it. So yeah, I want to start translating, whatever I can, making the inputs, the ideology, things like that, and translated it into Spanish. Fortunately, that's one of the benefits of being bilingual. I don't have to contract anybody out, but I'm going to be putting those on my YouTube pretty soon. I'm going to be putting like samples on my Instagram. So if you guys, follow me and check that out, I would really appreciate your support. And also, if any of you guys, know German or Russian or Portuguese or something, and you guys want to see these videos in your language and you speak English also, send me a message at Jack Green's Garden Products, guys. I can send you a script for you guys to translate easier or the basics for you guys to translate easier. And our end goal is to spread natural farming throughout the world, guys. So let's do it. Who's going to help me? Who's got another language for us to translate these?
That's so killer, man. I am in love with that mission and that project. It's funny because I talked about on this podcast, once again, I know I bring it up a lot, but I love it. And it was one of the most, one of my favorite trips of my life. When I went down to Colombia and we were visiting the regenerative coffee farms, some of those guys were really, really well-versed in what they did, getting the coffee farms to work. And I guess they had taken a scholarship into natural farming decades ago that was sponsored by some German bank that researched Colombian organic coffee farming. And it was wild. But one thing I did see down there is he had these worker booklets. So like, so Oscar, the guy who ran it, like he's, you know, he's like a college educated type regenerative guy. But right. for everybody on the farm to understand, they had these pamphlets in Spanish and they were animated too. It was like a little animated nematode, like beating the shit out of a, out of a thrip and its right. eggs or whatever. And it's like, and it's all in Spanish. It's like, oh, you know, these ones work well together. These ones are friends.
Yeah, these are your bad guys, right.
I was just like, cool. This is so cool. We need this, first of all, in English in America for our farmers. And then to see it now in another language, in another country, it's just really cool. Because like you said, when I see natural farming stuff, I see Elaine Ingham, I see Jeff Lowenfels, I see a bunch of English right. speakers. So
yeah, Chris Trump and everybody, right.
So yeah, it's just interesting. Like making it worldwide is going to break through a whole nother level. Also, Mexico. Mexico is going to come online like that. And they did put a delay on it, I believe, until spring 2021. But supposedly right. Mexico is going to come online, and you know, yeah, translating definitely. Into Spanish, you're going to get a lot of information in those people's hands.
Yeah, I would love that. I would love that. I would love for you know, Mexico's future projects with cannabis to be regenerative and good for the planet. You know, that would be beneficial for all of us, not just them.
I mean, let's be honest. I think that when people are getting into it on their own and they are faced with the choice of bottled synthetic fertilizers or learning to grow organically, I think that it's just a growing wave. It is a growing effing wave.
Yeah,
you know, even if it's not fully regenerative, like outdoor, yada, yada, yada. I even see people reaching for the FOOP bottled nutrients because it is certified organic. I think right. we're headed in that direction 100%.
Right. Definitely. I mean, I know I preach a lot of natural stuff and I bash, you know, salt growers and stuff on my Instagram with memes, but hey, you know what, if you guys are just at least trying it, man, if you guys are just trying an organic nutrient, trying, you know, something that's certified organic, that's just a little bit better for the planet and also is a little bit better for you.
Yeah.
Then you're taking that step in the right direction, definitely, man. You know, more power to you. Eventually you're probably just going to want to switch to the organics, to be honest with you.
That's what I see a lot in the progression. Not for everybody, and I agree, everybody knows that we love cannabis growers. That is my number one mission here. It doesn't matter if you're a salt grower or not.
Right,
I'm here to
right.
help you. But I do appreciate the memes, and I can laugh at the memes, man. That's funny. I see, you know who I see is those Miami mango hand watering memes. Oh my God. And I'm a hand waterer.
Yeah.
I'm allowed to laugh at though. I'm allowed to laugh at the fact that I hand water, and I always give him likes and thumbs up and even occasionally comment and say, dude, this one got me. You fucking kill me. So
yeah,
I think
definitely.
It's all in good fun. Personally, I
definitely.
Think it's all in good fun.
Yeah, it is. It's just poking around, you know, just to see. But you know, maybe I'll change your mind with one of those memes and you'll go natural.
Exactly, right? That's funny. It's funny how that works now in the Instagram meming culture. But again,
yeah,
I think it's all for a good laugh. So listen,
yeah,
man,
great.
What else do we got? I need to try your soil conditioner. I talk about Jack's Bug Be Gone all the time. Once again, jackgreensgardenproducts.com, code GCLISTENER. And that's for a whopping discount. I believe 25% you'll save at the time of this recording
yep.
on with that code. So I love the Bug Be Gone. I've been talking about the Bug Be Gone, but I still haven't tried any of your soil conditioners.
Yeah, we got to get those in your hands, Jordan. We got to get you trying out the soil conditioners and the labs. The micro booster is definitely great stuff.
Can you talk to me about what is the soil conditioners are comprised of? There's two of them, right?
It's a three pack. Oh. Technically, each one is a base of nitrogen, potassium, or phosphorus. So the luscious leaves, which would be our nitrogen base, that one's made of like high nitrogen containing wild weeds, stinging nettle, dandelion. Sometimes we can get wild alfalfa. We'll throw that in there. Majority of it is wild forage. Sometimes I do have to, you know, purchase, you know, some of the ingredients, but I try to, you know, make them as organic and as clean as possible.
Wow.
The next base, which would be the phosphorus base, which is the roots and shoots, that one's made from underripened fruit, usually like green papayas, you know, hard mangoes that are green still, you know, whatever underripened fruit I can see around here in the neighborhoods, and people got like lemon tree or orange tree and they're still kind of green, you know, go and snag a couple of those. Usually I use the green cactus fruits too, the prickly pears when they're green, I use those. And then the bloom blaster, which would be the potassium base, that one's overripened fruit. So papayas that are rotting, mangoes that are like soft already, and like you wouldn't want to eat it because they're brown on the inside. those are the basis of the Bloom Blaster.
Damn.
And they're all made according to natural farming practices. According to Master Yongsung Cho, when plants are in the transition period from veg into flower, they crave like sour fruits, and the sourness of the fruit comes from phosphoric acid, according to him.
Whoa.
So, you know, fermenting the sour fruits is like a high phosphoric acid content, which will help, you know, bring out flowering sides and help boost your flower sizes.
Damn.
And then the potassium base, that one's to help, you know, boost terpenes and finish out your flowers with some nice smells and some nice colors, and, you know, give them that nice little fatness that they need at the end, and that sugar, that sweetness that, you know, you get from buds sometimes. But yeah, that's our soil conditioners in a nutshell. They're all made by hand. They're fermented with brown sugar for, you know, usually around 4 to 7 days, and then strained out, and they're sold to you guys ready to dilute.
It kind of sounds like our replacement for a bottled nutrient line, or at least the big three. I don't know if there are trace minerals found in there. Would you recommend people use these in like a living, because you call it a soil conditioner. Should people use these in a living soil to boost it, either or? How does that work?
They could definitely use it as a bottled nutrient. Unfortunately, because of the law restrictions here in California, I can't say that it's a fertilizer without having proper licenses and labels. And, you know, I have to have a scientist.
I get it.
What is that? Like the minimum amount of nitrogen and all that other crap. And they have to do tests on it. We're working on that. But since we're such a small company, you know, we could probably only do one at a time because they're so expensive, the tests.
Right.
So right now, at the time, they're just called soil conditioners, but they're technically a fertilizer. You could definitely use it in a super soil. I have a friend that was using it as his main bottles in super soil, and he's having great results. He's actually like 2 or 3 days away from harvest, and it looks fantastic.
I gotta give that a try, man, because, you know, since using the water-only soils, the super soils, I personally haven't run into any trace mineral deficiencies.
Right.
I have run into, they get hungry for the big ones, right?
Right.
The macros, of course, but then also your magnesiums. I've seen, you know, even like calcium or whatever, but I haven't really run into trace mineral deficiencies yet in my personal grow. So I imagine just adding these soil conditioners would take care of that extra hunger. And maybe this will be a great combo with the living soil, I'm thinking.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to send you some bottles. You could try it out and let everybody know your results. I'd really like that.
Done.
That would be cool.
Done, sir.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll definitely make that happen.
Yeah, I'll send you the three soil conditioners and the labs also. It's our micro booster.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you. Joaquin is a friend of the show.
Man.
Yeah, he's been giving away prizes. We've been collabing, chatting off air, just seeing what's up, all that stuff.
Yeah,
so Joaquin is a great friend of the show. Go and support him, everybody. JackGreensGardenProducts.com.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
On Instagram, all that stuff. Any final words, Joaquin? Any wrap-up words for the future?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you listeners, everybody that's purchased my product, anybody that's, you know, given me a follow, anybody that sent me a message. I really appreciate your guys' support. You know, without this Growcast channel and my other avenues of marketing, you know, we probably wouldn't be where we're at. And this has been a really great first year. We're successful. We're still thriving here 1 year later. And we're really happy to be here, and we really appreciate this Growcast and all you listeners, man. We love you all, and thank you so much for your guys' support and your guys' interest in our products. We really love it.
Man, we are... Here's the clap. We are absolutely here to support you. We love what's going on with Jack Greens. Like I said, changing the way we think about farming, about regenerative, and now changing the desert into an oasis. So very cool stuff. Everyone go give a follow to High Haven Homestead as well. I have a feeling that we'll be connecting with that guy.
Cool. Yeah,
and,
definitely.
I guess that's all for now. Joaquin, take care of yourself out there. Stay safe,
thank
of
you.
Course, and keep us updated, will you?
Yeah, definitely. You as well, Jordan. You guys stay safe. And I know this crazy time right now, and you know, everybody, you guys, you know, your safety should be your number one concern always.
Everybody listening, thank you. You stay safe out there. You stay healthy. And check us out on Instagram at Growcast. Of course, patreon.com/Growcast for piles of member content and more each week. We'll see you there, everybody.
All right.
This is Joaquin and Jordan River signing off, saying be safe, everyone, and grow smarter.
All right. Take it easy, y'all. Thank you.
That's all for today, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Quick shout out before we wrap it up to Delta Leaf Labs, deltaleaflabs.com. Go and get your sex testing. Use code GROWCAST for free shipping. Stop wasting time sex testing. Get that done right away off the bat when they're little seedlings. and then you can focus on your grow. DeltaLeafLabs.com, use code GROWCAST. Make sure to go to patreon.com/GROWCAST, sign up for membership, tons of content waiting for you there. And thank you to Jay Blanked for doing the beat. You can find him on SoundCloud. He did the beat for the ads. Looking forward to seeing you guys in the lives. Appreciate all you followers, everyone rating and reviewing. Good luck in that contest. All right, everybody, be safe, stay healthy. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.